Welcome to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest and I.
You are very important, especially to us here at the New Chemist podcasting group. You listening in is significant.
Vous êtes très important, surtout pour nous ici au New Chemist podcasting group. Votre écoute est significative.
Usted es muy importante, especialmente para nosotros aquí en The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Usted escuchando, es significativo.
Você é muito importante. Especialmente para nós do The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Você ouvindo, é significativo.
Είστε πολύ σημαντικοί, ειδικά για εμάς εδώ στο The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Το να ακούς είναι σημαντικό. Sie sind sehr wichtig, besonders für uns hier bei The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Es ist wichtig, dass du zuhörst.
Je bent erg belangrijk, vooral voor ons hier bij The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Dat je meeluistert, is veelbetekenend.
You are very important, especially to us here at The New Chemist Podcasting Group. You listening in is significant. Thank you, Soso, for joining me today. It's good to have you here. So,
happy to be here, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, what have been your long-standing interests in the field of science?
So, I'm going to say two different things. When I first decided to go into engineering, it was, I guess, the biggest thing on my mind at that time was, you know, the issue of like renewable energy, climate change was a big topic throughout my high school years, and I was good at math, I was good at science. I didn't particularly enjoy English, but I did like history, so I was in this point of making a decision whether to go through the humanities or go into the sciences. Being young, I didn't really know what I wanted, but I thought, hey, renewable energy is what I'm interested in. I'm also interested in improving places like Africa, so I decided to go into the sciences. But my first day at Georgia Tech, I met a guy who was in aerospace, and I asked him, so what's aerospace engineering? And he looked at me like, I don't know. And he asked me, what's chemical engineering? And I was like, I don't know. So it's like, I feel like a lot of people go into the sciences off just being good at math and science, which is okay.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah man, so I understand that, because many times when you are someone who's good or gifted in math and sciences, people almost direct you in that direction or point you in that direction in terms of engineering or medicine or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, or grad school. So, you know, given that you studied chemical engineering, why did you choose chemical engineering as a field to major?
So again, this is 17-year-old, 16-year-old me making decisions, right? And there was two things. Firstly, my sister studied chemical engineering, and you know, there was a lot of high praise for the topic in my family, even though I didn't really know what it was. I asked my sister what chemical engineering was, and she said process engineering, which was even more meaningless to me. But then she said organic chemistry. And my first day doing organic chemistry in high school, the professor said, hey guys, we're gonna start organic chemistry. This is where the money is in science. And again, 16-year-old me, I was 15-year-old me. I don't know how old I was that class. I just paid attention. I just paid a lot of attention. And I got really good at organic chemistry because I was just paying a lot of attention during all those class.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so then when it came time to pick, I picked engineering because, you know, there was a lot of praise for engineering in my family. And then I picked chemical engineering because of a mix of my sister and of my love for organic chemistry at the time. So that's kind of what led me to pick chemical engineering.
So basically passion and family influences led you to choose chemical engineering as a discipline.
Yeah. I also thought chemical engineering would play into, you know, solar panels and things like that, which tied into renewable energy and sustainability. But that would be an interest of mine that would actually grow later on, more so than when I first decided to go into engineering.
Okay. Yeah, dude, that's definitely a good point. So I saw that you went to University of Cambridge. Congrats. That's very good. Yeah, you went to University of Cambridge. So why did you choose engineering for sustainable development as a field to do your graduate studies in?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I finished undergrad in chemical engineering. I didn't particularly like chemical engineering when I was studying it, to be honest. I really enjoyed just the university experience, just getting to take random classes and other topics. I took classes in international relations, women's literature, Cuban history, African American history, post-colonialism. And then the chemistry classes and biochem classes I really liked. But the physics and engineering classes specifically, I was good at them. I did well. But I wouldn't say it was something that I was so excited to show up to class to. Like I was excited to go to biochem, but I wasn't that excited to go to transport or kinetics. But when I started working, I was working in the plastic industry in the US. And man, I was in lab with podcasts in my ear talking about, you know, politics, current affairs. And it just hit me that I was just not in the right space. I mean, I was working in the plastic industry, which is very related to organic chemistry, if not the extension of organic chemistry. But I just didn't feel like, what I was working on in front of me in the lab was not the most important thing for me. I was listening to other things, like podcasts literally in my ears. And so I started looking at master's programs, and I was looking at manufacturing engineering, engineering management, because I was thinking, look, let me go find a way to make engineering tie into my passion. So using engineering for industrializing developing countries. Then I came across this program at Cambridge. I actually wasn't thinking of leaving the US, but when I read the program, like the course curriculum, that was it, man. I mean, it was sustainable urban development, energy for rural development. Sustainable architecture and urban design. I was like, okay, this is it. This is what I'm looking for, you know?
Okay.
And it was just straight. It was like engineering. It was a program for engineers. I mean, maybe you ask me some questions on this later on, but I'll say it was the best year of my life, man.
Wow. That's good.
I wake up on a Tuesday. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday or Saturday. Every day was just, I'll forget what day it was. Forget if it's Wednesday or Friday. Like, you know, I never lived life like that before. Most of the time you look forward to the weekend and you dread the week. This was nothing like that, because I was just engaged, and I was just happy to be working on what I was working on. Yeah.
So why would you say, that's an interesting statement, you know? Why would you say it was the best year of your life? What made it that way? Was it the program? Was it the people you're interacting with? Was it the whole, was it the landscape, the environment, the country? What complemented that being the best year of your life?
I would say two things. I mean, the country was nice. Cambridge was nice. It was a nice little town. British people were nice. But I think for me, it was a combination of the program and the people in the program. The program, the people leading the program were very open in terms of like how it would be led. They encouraged us to ask them difficult questions. They encouraged us to ask each other difficult questions. So it was maybe the most intellectually engaged I'd ever been. People asking very hard questions and challenging each other, but not in a egoistic manner, you know.
Yeah.
It was more, what is the best solution, including social aspects, talking about gender aspects, talking about environmental aspects, talking about economic aspects of technology, all these things. The program was great in itself and what I learned, but then the people, just being around very impassioned people of similar values to you, also having these almost idealistic goals. it was nice, you know, and it was an environment where I was allowed to just be me, just ask hard questions, just express myself. And it's difficult to find those kind of environments. And I was lucky.
I agree.
Something like that. Yeah.
I agree. It is difficult to find those types of environments, especially environments where you can thrive and be your authentic self.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not trying to mask your aspirations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of people have these lofty aspirations, so because of the environment that they're surrounded by, they kind of mask or just muffle their aspirations in a way.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of fit in.
To fit in, yeah. You know, it's. Yeah. And I mean, again, like, this was not something I was expecting. You know, I went there thinking the course program. I'm here for the course program. And the course program was good. don't get me wrong. But what I did not expect was the people out that were going to be also attracted to this program. And just all these people, rather idealistic, coming to this one space.
Yeah.
It was like a match. I was just really good. Yeah.
Good. It sounds like you found your niche. As yeah. well.
It's over now, though.
Pardon me?
I said the program's over now, though. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So how have you maintained vision and teamwork in your environment? Given that all the things you do, you work at the, you work in a division of the World Bank Group. Yeah. So how are you maintaining vision and teamwork in your environment?
Vision and teamwork.
Yes.
Okay. You know, the okay, so I think I'll talk about those two, split the question in two. So
yeah,
vision. Vision for me, my vision, my goals is to contribute to this world in some kind of positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
While at the same time feed myself, yeah. But
yeah, that's true. It's very important.
But to, you know, to come here, I didn't ask to be born, but to try and achieve something positive with my life, and to treat people around me well. And I mean, holding on to that vision, because being in the World Bank Group, this is no longer academia surrounded by other young students where we can talk about big, lofty ideas and try and think about the ideal. Here you're dealing with other people who don't necessarily see the world the way you do. You're dealing with an organization that's very old and has had its impact on the world, both negative and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people who, the International Finance Corporation, right? So a lot of people here are involved in finance, not necessarily in engineering. And the conversations, when you join any organization, you can start trying to please others. And it's important, yeah, okay, that's not necessarily wrong, but it's important to also keep your vision, your goals, and your ideals at the forefront. Like, you must have a guiding philosophy for how you work and what you want to do with your career. So I try to do that. I try to reach out to people in the office that are not in my team that I think might have similar values to me. And I say, hey, let's have a conversation. I saw you at this WebEx call. Everything's virtual now. I saw you on this WebEx call and you were saying certain things that I found interesting. Could we talk some more? And try and keep developing my own personal vision, my own personal philosophy, my own personal ideas while still doing my work. Teamwork, I think I kind of touched on that in a way, but including others in what you do. I think a lot of people are very protective of their work. They think, oh, this person's going to take my idea and run with it and become a millionaire off me. But most of the time, when you expose your idea to critique, maybe not a baby, like very just budding idea, but you have a little bit of an idea and you expose it to critique, you find that the people who want to talk about it are people who have similar interests to you, similar values to you. People who are not interested don't want to talk about that idea. And not just that, but then people also add their critiques and they will help you develop your idea. So teamwork, people should never see themselves as, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to be the one to make the company a million bucks. It's not likely. And the best way that you will save the world / make the company a million bucks is to work with other people and open and be vulnerable and.
Yeah, I completely agree. Synergy is very important. You know, like many people say, some of these statements are quite common. You know, you may have a dream, but you can only go as far as your team.
Yeah.
You know? And many times, you know, one is good, but more than one many times is better when it comes to working on an idea or goal.
I was gonna say, like, you being in academia and a PhD, you're gonna be presenting your work to different places and people are gonna be asking you questions, critiquing, and it's a positive thing, right? That helps you. Oh, I never thought about that. Add that in.
That's a part of the learning process, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a sometimes, you know, and this is an analogy, you know, when a potter is making a piece of a vase or some type of ceramic, you know, many times the potter has to shape, mold, take away, heat up, put some coats on it. It's a process.
Yeah.
And all of those things are part of the process of learning and growing and developing into your full self and actualizing 100%. As a person.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think what you were saying, especially in terms of, you know, making sure that you maintain your personal philosophy as you work in an environment and as you seek to fulfill the missions and goals of the environment that you're working in, maintaining your personal philosophy. The thing that actually crossed my mind was, you know, another analogy, you know, in chemistry, and this is an analogy from chemistry. Every element has a characteristic transition in terms of from the HOMO to the LOMO. And when it relaxes, it releases a specific frequency of light.
Yeah.
That light is characteristic of. So each one of us has something characteristic about our lives. And you know, the thing that's so beautiful in chemistry is when you see multiple lights together. So multiple characteristic transitions or multiple frequencies of light together. And you get this beautiful spectrum. Yeah, this beautiful spectrum, exactly. Yeah, so I think it just makes it worthwhile when you work together with people. So along those same lines, you know, you've been to Cambridge. And that's not an average school, I think, by any standard. So I would say in some ways you have been successful as a student. So how have you been successful? How would you say you've been successful? And one more question to add on. How have you been successful? And if someone listening to this podcast was saying, I want to go to Cambridge as well, what would be advice to that person who wants to go to Cambridge?
Okay, so I'll be on the second question, how to go to Cambridge. Mm-hmm. I think Thomas asked the question, why do you want to go to Cambridge? I mean,
yes, that's important.
I think that's important.
That's important.
I think Cambridge is a place, and
they keep
certain things there, and they do research on certain things there. But it might be that what you want to research, what you want to be, doesn't align with what kept going on in Cambridge. So one person's going to Cambridge and is successful and it's in line with what they want to do, that's great. Somebody going to Cambridge and not in line with what they want to do, then you're just trying to get a title or you're trying to get something for the CV. I mean, not necessarily a negative, but ask yourself, you have limited time on this planet. Do you want to spend it just getting a title?
That's true.
So how to go to Cambridge though, I'll say how I got there. I took a risk. You know, I was on a work visa in the United States and going to Cambridge, and the masters in Cambridge are not called Masters of Arts, Masters of Science, they're called Masters of Philosophy. So I didn't know if this was, and I never heard of Masters of Philosophy before, so I didn't know if I was going there to study a real degree. I was like, oh man, I don't know what this is.
Sounds like the hidden curriculum.
Yeah, so I took a risk when I decided to leave my job, become a student, go back to school, go to Cambridge, leave the United States with no assurance that I was going to come back. And this is the biggest job market, so that's a big thing. And so I took a risk, and at the same time, I was very honest in my application. I said, this is what I see in your program. This is what I want to do. This is why I think I need to come to your program. And this is why I think you would like me in your program. That's all I said. Of course, there was stuff that I'd done before. I expressed what I did for fun. I talked about the fact that I danced salsa. You know, I talked about all that in my essay. I talked about how I was volunteering and trying to help my community. Luckily, I had done a program in undergrad where I did well. Well, luckily or, you know.
Thankfully.
Maybe thankfully, that's the word. And those two things coming together, my personal aspirations and interests and my past academic success, and they accepted me. So I don't think they would turn you down if your grades were a little bit lower than me. And I don't think they would necessarily accept you out of the blue if your grades were a bit higher. I think it's the combination of those two. This is who I am. This is what I've done. And would you let me in? And I think, for undergrad, I didn't get into a lot of schools. I got into maybe 3 schools. But for master's program, I got into almost every school I applied to. And I think not necessarily because my grades were so good, but because I had a better idea of what I wanted to do. And what I was writing to them, what I was showing them about myself, I think they understood this is a guy who has a certain goal and our program aligns with this goal and he looks like he can succeed here. So let's let him in. And I think for any girl, guy, or any person who wants to apply to these kind of big schools, let's be sure it's what you want and not what you think other people want out of you. And sorry, that was a lot about how to be successful. It's gonna be a really easy one. Work with others, study groups, friends, access to past papers, that all comes from other people. So you gotta make friends.
I agree.
Georgia Tech, and you will not do well.
No man's an island.
Yeah,
I completely agree. So given all your responsibilities and accomplishments, how do you maintain a balanced life? Or strive to maintain a balanced life?
You know, that's a tough one. I know, that's a tough one. I think sometimes it's easier. Like when I was in Cambridge, it's a bit easier because the people I was surrounded by were so similar to me in the sense of values. So they also liked doing things after class. So they would invite me for things. I didn't always have to plan my week. Tuesday, someone would just say, you want to go do this? And it'll sound nice, so I'll go do it. But now in the working world, when you're working, it's a bit more, especially during COVID times.
you really gotta
take care of yourself. I mean, look, you see me here, there's nobody here. There's nobody next to me, right? So I'm alone for hours of the day. And that's not good. Human beings, we're not individuals like that. We can be introverted, but you still need that social interaction. You need to stay mentally healthy. So every day, man, I would joke you not, I try to take a walk with someone. I hit up with my friends in the town and want to take a walk. If they're somebody who wants to wear their mask outside, fine, I'll wear my mask with you. I will walk, but I need social interaction, man.
People need people.
Yeah, just simple, nice conversation that helps me stay balanced. It really, really does.
Yeah.
So I say people shouldn't feel lonely. And then the others who have like real commitments, like they have kids at home, things like that, and reach out for help as much as you can because,
we're all in this together.
Yeah,
many times we question whether we're alone, and some people may feel like they legitimately are alone, and that's understood, or at least it's tried, people try to understand, but many times we think we're alone, but we're not,
just don't be, people shouldn't be scared to reach out to other people, friends, family, just to talk, it helps, share what you're going through, it really helps, so... Stay balanced, man. I try to just talk to friends.
That's your take on it. That's your take on it.
Good friends.
Along the same lines of community and not being alone. Personally, in my faith tradition, one of the things that emphasizes is that God is for you, or your faith plays a large role in you having perspective when it comes to you encountering challenging circumstances, so that you know that you're not alone in those circumstances. That's
even
just
when,
my faith.
I like that one. Even when you're alone, there's other people you can reach out to, which is just sit down and
there's
just
a community of people.
Talk to your God, in fact. Maybe not. Find that inner peace.
Yes, but anyway, what have been your most effective and impactful ideas to date?
My most effective and impactful ideas, man. I created this technology that solves climate change now. I think my dissertation I did for my master's program was one of the things I was really proud of. It was hard to come up with a topic, but essentially my dissertation focused on plastic pollution in Lagos. And goes on around a lot of developing countries and developed countries. Everybody's dealing with this issue of plastic pollution. In Lagos, it's extremely bad. With a heavily populated city, not very good infrastructure, not very good waste collection or waste management infrastructure. So a lot of the plastic goes mismanaged into the environment. And I went to Lagos, I went to different parts of the city, interviewed different individuals, government officials, NGO workers, businesses, trying to understand what was the issue, what are the barriers to solving the issue, and what are the possible solutions. I'm wanting to publish my dissertation, but I am so slow. I am so slow at editing it down for a journal. But I'm really hoping to. If not, I'm just going to put this thing on my LinkedIn page at least. Just because it's just something to share. I would like to share. I can talk a little bit about the solutions that I'll talk about one thing about it. I know we're running low on time, so I'll wrap this quick. So there's a lot of waste picking that goes on in developing countries, and a lot of that waste picking is done by informal workers. A lot of those informal workers are children or struggling mothers, and it's not healthy work. It's not good public health work. It's not safe, and a lot of countries are not dealing with that informal labor that underlies their waste management infrastructure in a lot of countries. So I think that's something that needs to be addressed. So that's a social sustainability issue at most of them, that coincides with an environmental issue. So none of these things stand alone. But
I completely agree, because you know, many times we look at these issues in isolation, but there are granularities associated with these issues, and the issues many times are connected in terms of social frameworks, environmental frameworks, personal, physical, mental, all those things play a large role. But when it comes to issues that pertain to people's lives. My last question for you, how do you maintain view of the bigger picture in your career and in your life in general, especially when you encounter challenging circumstances? Do you have some type of personal philosophy, some worldview? What is the guiding light? If I was to coin a phrase, use a phrase that's coined, what is the basis on which you stay optimistic?
I think having a lot of people know what they don't like in society.
Okay.
But if you ask them, what is the society you would like to live in? A lot of people find it very hard to describe that society. So, I mean, that extends to a lot of things, like politics, a lot of things. People don't know, they know what they don't like, but they don't really know what they want.
Wow.
And so that's an interesting question, because do I know what I'm walking towards, what I would like to achieve in the future? When I know I don't like this, I know I don't like working here, I know I like this a little bit. I think something I said in the beginning, if I could with my life, with my career, improve the quality of life for people in a sustainable manner, socially sustainable, economically sustainable, environmentally sustainable manner, I feel like I would have done enough. And again, this doesn't mean, you know, I alone fix climate change, but if I can make my contribution to the world in a better way, treat people around me well, as well as I would like to be treated, if not better, then I think I've done enough. And people need to recognize when they've done enough, because a lot of people hold themselves to such high standards, so unrealistically high standards, and that can hurt you. Even when you're succeeding, you think you're failing. But it's just being humble enough to say, I've done enough. I've tried my hardest. That's it. And be satisfied with that. So that's it for me. If I know I'm trying my hardest, or I tried my hardest, then I've done enough. Then I can rest easy. If I know I haven't tried my best for people, then I know. Then I gotta address that. But so that's guiding philosophy, the thing that I just have to try my best at everything, personal interactions and work interactions.
I completely agree. And there are many things I could say on that. You know, one of the things me and my siblings, we say to each other sometimes is, you know, do the best you can, wherever you can, at all times you can. You know?
There you go.
Make sure that your best is not something that you do sometimes, but it's something that you work towards and you improve and you are always striving to be your best. And you know, along the same lines, I completely agree. It's not just about achieving things, but you know, you have to recognize when you have achieved something substantial and be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's feel like you're constantly having to prove.
Yeah.
Or constantly having to, I think we all have to work on this.
Everybody. You see the most successful people, you look at them and you're like, you're so successful, and they will look at you like, I feel like a failure. It's because they're not seeing it through a bigger perspective. That's not I wanted to be this and I'm not this. It's you got what you've done so far. That's great. So
reflecting is good. Yeah. But anyway, so it's good to have you on. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you, Soso, for joining me today. It's good to have you here. So,
happy to be here, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, what have been your longstanding interests in the field of science?
So, I'm going to say two different things. When I first decided to go into engineering, it was, I guess, the biggest thing on my mind at that time was, the issue of renewable energy, climate change was a big topic throughout my high school years, and I was good at math, I was good at science. I didn't particularly enjoy English, but I did like history, so I was in this point of making a decision whether to go through the humanities or go into the sciences. Being young, I didn't really know what I wanted, but I thought, hey, renewable energy is what I'm interested in. I'm also interested in improving places like Africa, so I decided to go into the sciences. But my first day at Georgia Tech, I met a guy who was in aerospace, and I asked him, so what's aerospace engineering? And he looked at me like, I don't know. And he asked me, what's chemical engineering? And I was like, I don't know. So it's like, I feel like a lot of people go into the sciences off just being good at math and science, which is okay.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah man. So I understand that, because many times when you are someone who's good or gifted in math and sciences, people almost direct you in that direction point you in that direction in terms of engineering or medicine or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, or grad school. So, given that you studied chemical engineering, why did you choose chemical engineering as a field to major?
So again, this is 17-year-old, 16-year-old me making decisions, right? And there was two things. Firstly, my sister studied chemical engineering, and there was a lot of high praise for the topic in my family, even though I didn't really know what it was. I asked my sister what chemical engineering was, and she said process engineering, which was even more meaningless to me. But then she said organic chemistry. And my first day doing organic chemistry in high school, the professor said, hey guys, we're gonna start organic chemistry. This is where the money is in science. And again, 16-year-old me, I was 15-year-old me, I don't know how old I was that class. I just paid attention. I just paid a lot of attention. And I got really good at organic chemistry because I was just paying a lot of attention during ORGO class.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so then when it came time to pick, I picked engineering because, there was a lot of praise for engineering in my family. And then I picked chemical engineering because of a mix of my sister and of my love for organic chemistry at the time. So that's kind of what led me to pick chemical engineering.
So basically passion and family influences led you to choose chemical engineering as a discipline.
Yeah. I also thought chemical engineering would play into, solar panels and things like that, which tied into renewable energy and sustainability. But that would be an interest of mine that will actually grow later on, more so than when I first decided to go into engineering.
Okay. Yeah, dude, that's definitely a good point. So I saw that you went to University of Cambridge. Congrats. That's very good. Yeah, you went to University of Cambridge. So why did you choose engineering for sustainable development as a field to do your graduate studies in?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I finished undergrad in chemical engineering. I didn't particularly like chemical engineering when I was studying it, to be honest. I really enjoyed just the university experience, just getting to take random classes and other topics. I took classes in international relations, women's literature, Cuban history, African American history, post-colonialism. And then the chemistry classes and biochem classes I really liked. But the physics and engineering classes specifically, I was good at them. I did well. But I wouldn't say it was something that I was so excited to show up to class to. Like I was excited to go to biochem, but I wasn't that excited to go to transport or kinetics. But when I started working, I was working in the plastic industry in the US. And man, I was in lab with podcasts in my ear talking about, you know, politics, current affairs. And it just hit me that I was just not in the right space. I mean, I was working in plastic industry, which is very related to organic chemistry, if not the extension of organic chemistry. But I just didn't feel like, what I was working on in front of me in the lab was not the most important thing for me. I was listening to other things, like podcasts literally in my ears. And so I started looking at master's programs, and I was looking at manufacturing engineering, engineering management. Because I was thinking, look, let me go find a way to make engineering tie into my passion. So using engineering for industrializing developing countries. Then I came across this program at Cambridge. I actually wasn't thinking of leaving the US, but when I read the program, like the course curriculum, that was it, man. I mean, it was like sustainable urban development, energy for rural development. How do I say it? Like sustainable architecture and urban design. I was like, okay, this is it. This is what I'm looking for, you know?
Okay.
And it was just straight. It was like engineering. It was a program for engineers. I mean, maybe you ask me some questions on this later on, but I'll say it was the best year of my life, man. And
wow, that's good.
I wake up on a Tuesday. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday or Saturday. Every day was just, I'll forget what day it was. Forget if it's Wednesday or Friday. Like, you know, I never lived life like that before. Most of the time you look forward to the weekend and you dread the week. This was nothing like that, because I was just engaged, and I was just happy to be working on what I was working on. Yeah.
So why would you say, that's an interesting statement, you know? Why would you say it was the best year of your life? What made it that way? Was it the program? Was it the people you're interacting with? Was it was it the landscape, the environment, the country? What complemented that being the best year of your life?
I would say two things. I mean, the country was nice. Cambridge was nice. It was a nice little town. British people were nice. But I think for me, it was a combination of the program and the people in the program. The program, the people leading the program were very open in terms of like how it would be led. They encouraged us to ask them difficult questions. They encouraged us to ask each other difficult questions. So it was maybe the most intellectually engaged I'd ever been. People asking very hard questions and challenging each other, but not in a egoistic manner, you know.
Yeah.
It was more, what is the best solution, including social aspects, talking about gender aspects, talking about environmental aspects, talking about economic aspects of technology, all these things. And it was, and so yeah, the program was great in itself and what I learned, but then the people, just being around very impassioned people of similar values to you, also having these almost idealistic goals.
Yeah.
It was nice, you know, and it was an environment where I was allowed to just be me, just ask hard questions, just express myself. And it's difficult to find those kind of environments. I was lucky.
I agree.
Something like that, yeah.
I agree. It is difficult to find those types of environments, especially environments where you can thrive and be your authentic self.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not trying to mask your aspirations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of people have these lofty aspirations, so because of the environment that they're surrounded by, they kind of mask or just muffle their aspirations in a way.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of fit in.
To fit in, yeah. You know, it's. Yeah. And I mean, again, like, this was not something I was expecting. You know, I went there thinking the course program. I'm here for the course program. And the course program was good, don't get me wrong. But what I did not expect was the people out that were going to be also attracted to this program. And just all these people, rather idealistic, coming to this one space.
Yeah.
It was like a match. I was just really good, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you found your niche. As well.
It's over now, though.
Pardon me?
I said the program's over now, though. So.
Yeah, man. So how have you maintained vision and teamwork in your environment? Given that all the things you do, you work in a division of the World Bank Group.
Yeah.
So how are you maintaining vision and teamwork in your environment?
Vision and teamwork.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I think I'll talk about those two, split the question in two. So
yeah,
vision. Vision for me, my vision, my goals is to contribute to this world in some kind of positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
While at the same time feed myself, yeah. But
yeah, that's true. Very important.
But to, you know, to come here, I didn't ask to be born, but to try and achieve something positive with my life, and to treat people around me well. And I mean, holding on to that vision, because being in the World Bank Group, this is no longer academia surrounded by other young students where we can talk about big, lofty ideas and try and think about the ideal. Here you're dealing with other people who don't necessarily see the world the way you do. You're dealing with an organization that's very old and has had its impact on the world, both negative and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people who, the International Finance Corporation, right? So a lot of people here are involved in finance, not necessarily in engineering. And the conversations, when you join any organization, you can start trying to please others. And it's important, yeah, okay, that's not necessarily wrong, but it's important to also keep your vision, your goals, and your ideals at the forefront. Like, you must have a guiding philosophy for how you work and what you want to do with your career. So I try to do that. I try to reach out to people in the office that are not in my team that I think might have similar values to me. And I say, hey, let's have a conversation. I saw you at this WebEx call. Everything's virtual now. I saw you on this WebEx call and you were saying certain things that I found interesting. Could we talk some more? And try and keep developing my own personal vision, my own personal philosophy, my own personal ideas while still doing my work. Teamwork, I think I kind of touched on that in a way, but including others in what you do. I think a lot of people are very protective of their work. They think, oh, this person's going to take my idea and run with it and become a millionaire off me. But most of the time, when you expose your idea to critique, maybe not a baby, like very just budding idea, but you have a little bit of an idea and you expose it to critique, you find that the people who want to talk about it are people who have similar interests to you, similar values to you. People who are not interested don't want to talk about that idea. And not just that, but then people also add their critiques and they will help you develop your idea. So teamwork, people should never see themselves as, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to be the one to make the company a million bucks. It's not likely. And the best way that you will save the world / make the company a million bucks is to work with other people and open and be vulnerable and.
Yeah, I completely agree. Synergy is very important. You know, like many people say, some of these statements are quite common. You know, you may have a dream, but you can only go as far as your team.
Yeah.
You know? And many times, you know, one is good, but more than one many times is better when it comes to working on an idea or goal.
I was gonna say, like, you being in academia and a PhD, you're gonna be presenting your work to different places and people are gonna be asking you questions, critiquing, and it's a positive thing, right? That helps you. Oh, I never thought about that. Let me add that in.
That's a part of the learning process, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a sometimes, you know, and this is an analogy, you know, when a potter is making a piece of a vase, or some type of ceramic. You know, many times the product has to shape, mold, take away, heat up, put some coats on it. It's a process.
Yeah.
And all of those things are part of the process of learning and growing and developing into your full self and actualizing 100%. Another person.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think what you were saying, especially in terms of, you know, making sure that you maintain your personal philosophy as you work in an environment and as you seek to fulfill the missions and goals of the environment that you're working in, maintaining your personal philosophy. The thing that actually crossed my mind was, you know, another analogy, you know, in chemistry, and this is an analogy from chemistry. Every element has a characteristic transition in terms of from the HOMO to the LUMO. And when it relaxes, it releases a specific frequency of light.
Yeah.
That light is characteristic of. So each one of us has something characteristic about our lives. Mm. And you know, the thing that's so beautiful in chemistry is when you see multiple lights together. So multiple characteristic transitions or multiple frequencies of light together. And you get this beautiful spectrum. Yeah, this beautiful spectrum, exactly. Yeah, so I think it just makes it worthwhile when you work together with people. So along those same lines, you know, you've been to Cambridge,
yeah.
And that's not an average school, I think, by any standard. So I would say in some ways you have been successful as a student. So how have you been successful? You. Yeah, how would you say you've been successful?
You know,
if you and one more question to add on. How have you been successful? And if someone listening to this podcast was saying, I want to go to Cambridge as well, what would be advice to that person who wants to go to Cambridge?
Okay, so I'll be on the second question, how to go to Cambridge. Mm-hmm. I think Thomas asked the question, why do you want to go to Cambridge? I mean,
yes, that's important.
I think that's important.
That's important.
I think Cambridge is a place, and
that's
they
true.
Keep certain things there, and they do research in certain things there. But it might be that what you want to research, what you want to be, doesn't align with what kept going on in Cambridge. So,
mm-hmm.
one person's going to Cambridge and is successful and it's in line with what they want to do, that's great. Somebody going to Cambridge and not in line with what they want to do, then you're just trying to get a title or you're trying to get something for the CV. I mean, not necessarily a negative, but ask yourself, you have limited time on this planet. Do you want to spend it just getting a title?
That's true.
So how to go to Cambridge though? I'll say how I got there. I took a risk. You know, I was on a work visa in the United States, and going to Cambridge, and the masters in Cambridge are not called Masters of Arts, Masters of Science, they're called Masters of Philosophy. So I didn't know if this was, and I never heard of Masters of Philosophy before, so I didn't know if I was going there to study a real degree. I was like, oh man, I don't know what this is.
Sounds like the hidden curriculum.
Yeah, so I took a risk when I decided to leave my job, become a student, go back to school, go to Cambridge, leave the United States with no assurance that I was going to come back. And this is the biggest job market, so that's a big thing. And so I took a risk, and at the same time, I was very honest in my application. I said, this is what I see in your program. This is what I want to do. This is why I think I need to come to your program. And this is why I think you would like me in your program. That's all I said. Of course, there was stuff that I'd done before. I expressed what I did for fun. I talked about the fact that I danced salsa. You know, I talked about all that in my essay. I talked about how I was volunteering and I'm trying to help my community. Luckily, I had done a program in undergrad where I did well. Well, luckily, or, you know.
Thankfully.
Maybe thankfully, that's the word. And those two things coming together, my personal aspirations and interests and my past academic success, and they accepted me. So I don't think they would turn you down if your grades were a little bit lower than me. And I don't think they'll necessarily accept you out of the blue if your grades will be higher. I think it's the combination of those two. This is who I am. This is what I've done. And would you let me in? And I think for undergrad, I didn't get into a lot of schools. I got into maybe three schools. But for master's program, I got into almost every school I applied to. And I think not necessarily because my grades were so good, but because I had a better idea of what I wanted to do. And what I was writing to them, what I was showing them about myself, I think they understood this is a guy who has a certain goal. And our program aligns with his goal, and he looks like he can succeed here. So let's let him in. And I think for any girl, guy, or any person who wants to apply to these kind of big schools, let's be sure it's what you want and not what you think other people want out of you. And sorry, that was a lot about how to be successful. It's going to be a really easy one. Work with others, study groups, friends, access to past papers, that all comes from other people. So you gotta make friends.
Yeah, I agree.
Georgia Tech, and you will not do well.
No man's an island.
Yeah,
I completely agree. So given all your responsibilities and accomplishments, how do you maintain a balanced life? Or strive to maintain a balanced life?
You know, that's a tough one. I know, that's a tough one. I think sometimes it's easier. Like when I was in Cambridge, it's a bit easier because the people I was surrounded by were so similar to me in the sense of values. So they also liked doing things after class. So they would invite me for things. I didn't always have to plan my week. Tuesday, someone would just say, "You want to go do this?" And it'll sound nice, so I'll go do it. But now in the working world, when you're working, it's a bit more, especially during COVID times.
you really gotta
take care of yourself. I mean, look, you're seeing me here. There's nobody here. There's nobody next to me, right? So I'm alone for hours of the day, and that's not good. Human beings, we're not individuals like that. We can be introverted, but you still need that social interaction. You need to stay mentally healthy. So every day, man, I would joke you not, I try to take a walk with someone. I hit up with my friends in the town and want to take a walk. If they somebody who likes wants to wear their mask outside, fine, I'll wear my mask with you. I will walk. But I need social interaction, man.
People need people.
Yeah, just simple, nice conversation that helps me stay balanced. It really, really does.
Yeah.
So I say people shouldn't feel lonely. And then there are others who have like real commitments, like they have kids at home, things like that, and reach out for help as much as you can because,
we're all in this together.
Yeah,
many times we question whether we're alone, and some people may feel like they legitimately are alone, and that's understood, or at least people try to understand. But many times we think we're alone, but we're not.
People shouldn't be scared to reach out to other people, friends, family, just to talk. It helps.
Share
what you're going through. It really helps. So stay balanced, man. I try to just talk to friends.
That's your take on it. That's your take on it.
Good friends.
Along the same lines of, community and, not being alone. Personally, in my faith tradition, one of the things that emphasizes is that, God is for you, or your faith plays a large role in you having perspective when it comes to you encountering challenging circumstances, so that you know that you're not alone in those circumstances.
That's
even just when, my faith.
I like that one. Even when you're alone, there's other people you can reach out to, which is just sit down and
there's a community of people.
Talk to your God, in fact, maybe not. Find that inner peace.
Yes, but anyway, what have been your most effective and impactful ideas to date?
My most effective and impactful ideas, man. I created this technology that solves climate change now. I think my dissertation I did for my master's program was one of the things I was really proud of. It was hard to come up with a topic, but essentially my dissertation focused on plastic pollution in Lagos. Goes on around a lot of developing countries and developed countries. Everybody's dealing with this issue of plastic pollution. In Lagos, it's extremely bad. We're a heavily populated city. not very good infrastructure, not very good waste collection or waste management infrastructure. So a lot of the plastic goes mismanaged into the environment. And I went to Lagos, I went to different parts of the city, interviewed different individuals, government officials, NGO workers, businesses, try to understand what was the issue, what are the barriers to solving the issue, and what are the possible solutions. I'm wanting to publish my dissertation, but I am so slow. I am so slow at editing it down for a journal. But I'm really hoping to. If not, I'm just gonna put this thing on my LinkedIn page at least. Just because it's just something to share. I would like to share. I can talk a little bit about the solutions that I'll talk about one thing about it. I know we're running low on time, so I'll wrap this quick. So there's a lot of waste picking that goes on in developing countries, and a lot of that waste picking is done by informal workers. A lot of those informal workers are children or struggling mothers, and it's not healthy work. It's not good public health work. It's not safe. And a lot of countries are not dealing with that informal labor that underlies their waste management infrastructure in a lot of countries. So I think that's something that needs to be addressed. So that's a social sustainability issue at most of them, that coincides with an environmental issue. So none of these things stand alone. But yeah.
Dude, I completely agree. Because, you know, many times we look at these issues in isolation, but there are granularities.
Yeah.
Associated with these issues, and the issues many times are connected in terms of social frameworks, environmental frameworks,
yes,
personal, physical, mental, all those things
play
a large role. Yeah, but when it comes to issues that pertain to people's lives. So, yeah. My last question for you: how do you maintain view of the bigger picture in your career and in your life in general, especially when you encounter challenging circumstances? You have some type of personal philosophy, some worldview. What is the guiding light? If I was to coin a phrase, use a phrase that's coined. What is the basis on which you stay optimistic?
I think having a lot of people know what they don't like in society.
Okay.
But if you ask them, what is the society you would like to live in? A lot of people find it very hard to describe that society. So, I mean, that extends to a lot of things, like politics, a lot of things. People don't know, they know what they don't like, but they don't really know what they want.
Wow.
And so that's an interesting question, because do I know what I'm walking towards, what I would like to achieve in the future? When I know I don't like this, I know I don't like working here, I know I like this a little bit. I think from something I said in the beginning, if I could with my life, with my career, improve the quality of life for people in a sustainable manner, socially sustainable, economically sustainable, environmentally sustainable manner, I feel like I would have done enough. This doesn't mean, you know, I alone fix climate change, but if I can make my contribution to the world in a better way, treat people around me well, as well as I would like to be treated, if not better, then I think I've done enough. And people need to recognize when they've done enough, because a lot of people hold themselves to such high standards, so unrealistically high standards, and that can hurt you. Even when you're succeeding, you think you're failing. But it's just being humble enough to say, I've done enough. I've tried my hardest. That's it. And be satisfied with that. So that's it for me. If I know I'm trying my hardest, or I tried my hardest, then I've done enough. Then I can rest easy. If I know I haven't tried my best for people, then I know. Then I gotta address that. But yeah. So that's guiding philosophy, the thing that I just have to try my best, everything, personal interactions and work interactions.
I completely agree. And there are many things I could say on that. You know, one of the things me and my siblings, we say to each other sometimes is, you know, do the best you can, wherever you can, at all times you can, you know? make sure that your best is not something that you do sometimes, but it's something that you work towards and you improve and you are always striving to be your best. And you know, along the same lines, I completely agree. It's not just about achieving things, but you know, you have to recognize when you have achieved something substantial and be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's feel like you're constantly having to prove.
Yeah.
Or constantly having to, I think we all have to work on this.
You see the most successful people, you look at them and you're like, you're so successful, and they will look at you like, I feel like a failure. It's because they're not seeing it through a bigger perspective. That's not I wanted to be this and I'm not this. It's you got what you've done so far. That's great. So
reflecting is good. But anyway, so it's good to have you on. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for the invite.
Thanks for listening to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. We are so glad that you were able to tune in today. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest, and I take care and all the best.